You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's top flight football podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Punt podcast here with William Hill. It's Dave Kellner and Lee Phelps with you for a midweek feast of European footballing action, with the Champions League games taking place over Tuesday and Wednesday night, and the UEFA Europa League matches, the semi-final second legs on Thursday. It's a warm welcome to my Punt podcast cohort, Mr. Lee Phelps.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Excellent, thank you. Fresh from a very successful weekend.
Yeah, you put up some winners, didn't you?
Not the nap, though. That open letter is getting longer by the minute.
You will always, you are only ever remembered for the nap on the Punt podcast, which is a shame, isn't it? Because there were a few good shouts on the Punt podcast over the weekend.
Yeah. But, you know, let's leave that be, shall we? Derek got another winner.
We didn't.
So he further extends that lead.
He's now just a dot, isn't he, in the distance?
I mean, it would be rude of us to beat the betting expert on the podcast, wouldn't it?
I know how polite you are as well.
I'm a very polite.
You're there just to fill time, aren't you, on that podcast?
Basically.
Let's get stuck into the Champions League then. These two games are both crackers. We'll start off with the match on Tuesday night. Bayern Munich versus Barcelona. 7:45 p.m. kickoff Tuesday. Bayern Munich 13-8 to win the match in 90 minutes. The draw 23-10. Barcelona 13-8. Qualification prices: Bayern Munich 14-1. Barcelona 1-66. And the headline offers: Robert Lewandowski to score and Bayern to win in 90 is 7-2. Lionel Messi to score and Barcelona to win in 90 minutes in the betting at 3-1. Barcelona coming to this with that 3-goal lead after the first leg at the Camp Nou. It was a masterclass, Lee, from a player that many regard as the best ever. Lionel Messi got a couple of goals, and despite Manuel Neuer's best efforts in the first half, they were eventually outdone by the world's best.
Yeah, it was a great game, wasn't it? Even like even at 0-0, when it looked like, you know, Bayern Munich were going to get away with it. But in the end, I think as soon as he got that goal and the game had to open up a bit more, then we saw Barcelona at the very best. Really interesting. I was looking at their away performances this season, Barcelona, and the away form has been where Barca have been criticised in the past. This season, not so bad at all, though. I mean, they lost to PSG in the group stages, but one common denominator in all games are early goals. Messi scored after 11 minutes in Paris. He scored after 36 minutes when they played Ajax away. Suarez scored after 27. Messi got one in the 38th minute at Applewell. They scored after the 16th and 30th minute, both from Luis Suarez in Manchester. And then in the quarterfinal against PSG, 18th minute, Neymar scored. I don't see them changing the way they play. It would be stupid of Barcelona to suddenly go, OK, well, we'll sit on a 3-0 lead, because they know how dangerous Bayern Munich can be. And I know they've got players missing, but they are capable of scoring goals. I think we might see, you know, like, I guess, you know, when we go back to the World Cup and we saw what happened to Brazil, and I thought, well, they can't keep getting absolutely hammered here. They're too good a team to be hammered. I think Barcelona might go for the jugular here and really try and stick one on Bayern Munich and try and get an early goal rather than sitting back. It's just not the way they've played this year in the Champions League. I'm struggling to make an argument for Bayern Munich. Even though they can score goals, I think they're going to have to leave themselves 2-0. But if it was 2-0, you could see them setting up nice and defensively and looking to get a goal, maybe, you know, first half, even early in the second half, and then really put the pressure on Barcelona. 3 goals, DK. You've really got to attack from moment one, haven't you?
You have, yeah.
Measured. Not, I don't mean they're going to go crazy, but a measured attacking. They've got to start getting goals pretty early in the match for me.
Pep Guardiola's tactics in that first leg were incredible, really. To go 3-3 against Messi, Neymar and Suarez in the opening 15 minutes before changing things up. You can understand why he decided to adopt those tactics, to put more pressure on Barcelona higher up the pitch.
Yep.
But Barca kept the ball so well, and they were always going to be exposed 3-3 against those three strikers. And despite it still being 0-0, Guardiola changed his mind very early in that match and went to a flat back four after about 15 minutes.
Yeah. You can't do that.
You can't do that,
not
can
the
you?
Form they're in at the moment. I mean, you know, Barcelona won again at the weekend and Real Madrid drew, so they've now got a four-point gap at the top. They're on course for a treble, the Copa del Rey, if it ever gets played. From a betting point of view, they're almost a shoo-in to beat Bilbao in that Copa del Rey final. 4 points clear at the top of the table, and they've got this 3-0 lead. I just think they're in great form, and they've got too many. I mean, Suarez didn't have his best game, actually, did he? You know, in front of goal.
Well, it shows you how strong Messi is as a player, that Suarez just looked like another player alongside Lionel Messi. He elevated his level to something beyond the level that Luis Suarez has ever shown on a football pitch.
Yeah.
He just separated himself from the rest of the players that night, that evening, and he's done it in the past as well. Just to elaborate on Barcelona's form, as you were mentioning, that front three, Messi, Neymar, Suarez, 112 goals between them this season. They've won all their last 8 matches, Barcelona. They've scored 28 goals in that spell. They've kept 7 consecutive clean sheets. If you'd have said to me, a team at this point in the season have got Javier Mascherano and Gerard Piqué as their axis at the back, and they've kept 7 clean sheets playing against the teams they've played against. And you said that 5 years ago. I would think you were mad, because I didn't really rate Mascherano and Gerard Piqué as players with that sort of defensive prowess. But
now,
incredible.
You'd admit, as you often do, that I was completely right. Amazing.
I thought even Rakitic was brilliant as well in that first leg.
Yes. He's been underrated, hasn't he? You know, as underrated as you can be in this Barcelona team, I suppose. But, yeah, I mean, you know, a key player for them with those wonderful players up front. Most of Barcelona's team just does their job to give those three license to go and be brilliant,
they
doesn't
do.
It? You know, and, you know, if you listen to our European football podcast that Alex Dunn and Ray Druitt do, you know, they've talked all season long about how they've almost been scratching their heads at this defensive record that Barca have got, because when you watch them, you don't see them being that defensively tight, but they have got a great defensive record. Now, if I'm right, this game will be full of goals. I mean, you know, it's 6-10 for over 2.5, so the bookies think the same thing. They think it'll be full of goals. There's always a chance, I suppose, that, you know, it starts off fairly cagey and we don't get any goals, but I just don't see how that could possibly happen. You know, Bayern Munich have to attack, but they have to attack with some measure of caution, because if they concede one, they need 5. You know,
yes.
If Barca get an away goal, then they need 5 goals, which is, you know, that can't happen. But, you know, like I was saying about Barca's early goals away from home, Bayern are the same. Scored after 14, 22, 27, 36 and 40 against Porto. 5 first-half goals. Scored 2 first-half goals against Shakhtar Donetsk at home. Scored 1 after 18 minutes against CSKA. 38th minute against Roma. It took them right until the 90th minute to get that winner against Man City in the group stages, of course. But they absolutely battered Man City that night, if you remember. Joe Hart had a tremendous game. I'm looking at a really entertaining game here, and I'm looking at over 1.5 first half goals at 13-8 for both teams, of course. Not a Man United, if you're a regular listener, not the kind of Man United over 1.5, but 2 goals in the first half or more is 13-8, which is the same price as Bayern Munich and Barcelona to win. And I'm not really sure who will win the game. I'd probably go for the draw if forced on the outright.
Would you?
Yeah, because I think I wouldn't be surprised to see something like a 2-2. Because at some point, Bayern Munich are going to realise they can't get through.
I fancy Barcelona quite strongly to win this match in 90 minutes,
yeah.
Because I think the absence of Arjen Robben and Franck Ribéry is something that you alluded to earlier. It is definitely significant. And I think a lot of the Barcelona players and the staff will understand the history of this matchup, and they'll be conscious that back in 2013 Bayern Munich beat them 7-0 on aggregate. They won that first leg 4-0 in Bayern. They'll want revenge will be on their mind, because Bayern Munich then didn't relax at the Camp Nou. They went to the Camp Nou and beat them 3-0 and ended up winning that tie 7-0 on aggregate. That will have stung personnel in the organisation, and I think they'll be reminded of that in the lead up to this match.
I don't disagree with that. It could well happen. I probably wouldn't have a bet on the outrights personally, though, but just to draw it force. The other thing is the goal scorer, you know, prices for Barca. You know, Lionel Messi's even money. 6-4 Luis Suarez, 13-8 Neymar. You'd probably take Neymar at 13-8 of the three, wouldn't you, just as a price play, because they're all superb players, they're all superb finishers. You know, Messi, the highest scorer in the competition with 10 goals so far in 11 games, so he, again, going for the golden boot, if you like. I'm just looking at their stats as well. He averages 4 shots a game. So they had 5 games, 20 shots and 6 goals. It's not a bad little ratio, that, is it? Suarez, 16 shots in total, 5 goals he's scored away from... This is away from home, by the way, not just in total. Now, Bayern Munich allow 5 shots per game at their goal. I think that's going to have to... That will increase, I think, in this game. I don't think that we'll be able to keep Barcelona down to that. Now, if they're allowing, you know, maybe 6 or more shots on goal and they allow Messi and Suarez and Neymar 1 or 2 each, I think one of them will grab a goal, to be fair. So that's why I'm thinking, you know, even if it's quite a tight game, even if Bayern Munich do start out relatively tight and think they'll try and nick them later on in the break, I think Barca will break them down. I think they'll find a way. And I think I don't think that's how it will pan out. I think Bayern just simply have to go for it.
I do, and I think that will play into the hands of Barcelona.
They can just sit there a little bit, can't they, and wait. Muller, 11-8, by the way, if they do score goals, I think is a nice price. He obviously scores goals pretty much every competition he's ever involved in. He's had 14 shots in total in the tournament, and he scored 4 goals from them. So we know he's a good finisher. We know he can break from deep as well. Yeah, I'll go for an audacious 2-2 draw, but my main bet will be over 1.5 first half goals in the match at 13-8.
2-2 draw in the market at 12-1, if you fancy that. 12-1 on the 2-2 draw. And as Lee said, he's going with over 1.5 first half goals, which is looks a good bet at 13-8. Let's move on. Let's have a look at Real Madrid versus Juventus, which is the 7:45 p.m. kickoff on Wednesday. Real Madrid 4-6, the draw 13-5, Juventus 9-2. Headline offers: Cristiano Ronaldo to score and Real Madrid to win in the 90 minutes is 6-4. Alvaro Morata to score and Juventus to win in 90 minutes 10-1. And also Carlos Tevez to score and Juventus to win in the 90 minutes is 10-1. Looking forward to this match immensely, Lee. Juventus take a 2-1 lead to the Bernabeu. And their slight odds against to qualify, 11-10 they are to qualify. Juventus, Real Madrid are 4-6. Madrid came from 2 goals down on Saturday to draw against Valencia, despite Cristiano Ronaldo missing a penalty in that game. And I think personnel is going to be interesting here because Toni Kroos was taken off with a hamstring injury, but he's expected to be fit to play on Wednesday. And Karim Benzema, who's been out for a month with a knee injury, could return as well. That could boost Real Madrid's chances significantly.
Yeah, it could, couldn't it? But I mean, you know, do you want someone who's not match fit going straight back into a semi-final? How much of an impact will he really have? I think what they, you know, one thing that stood out to me and to a lot of other people in that first leg was how they look like a collection of individuals rather than a team. And at their best this season, Real Madrid have looked fantastic and a team unit. And, you know, I know they've been playing very well, but ever since Ronaldo had that little hissy fit when Bale scored that goal, there just seems to be something that's not quite right there. When it's not going right for them, they look a little bit like they could... A bit brittle, I suppose. It seems a strange thing to say about a Real Madrid team. But, you know, that result against Valencia, I mean, that... Real Madrid shouldn't be doing that, should they? You know, they should be, you know, quite happily beating Valencia and keeping on Barcelona's tail. Now that gap's gone to 4.5, really, with goal difference, because Barcelona...
Two games left.
Plus 88, plus 73. Title's over, really, isn't it? Unless Barcelona disintegrates somehow.
Which so won't happen.
No, you would be very surprised, wouldn't you? So, I mean, you know, they can concentrate on this if they weren't already and get stuck into it. I think Juve look a much better team. Unit, if you know what I mean. Real Madrid undoubtedly have the better, you know, individual players. I think, you know, James Rodriguez, I thought he played pretty well in the first leg, and I think we could maybe expect a bit more from him. The thing about Juve is you wonder how they'll set up here. They've got that 2-1 lead. Now, if they're confident enough to go in and take Real Madrid on, it will be an interesting match. What I suspect will happen is that Juve will sit on it a little bit. They've got a better away defence than they have at home this season in domestically. Only conceded 12 in 24 games. So, you know, I think, you know, best they've got the best defence of the semi-finalists in the Champions League as well. Just conceded 6 goals in total. So I think they might set up to frustrate Real Madrid here and play on that frustration in the crowd as well.
And I mentioned the Real Madrid team news with Karim Benzema looking for a starting berth on Wednesday. Didn't mention Paul Pogba is back for Juventus. He reappeared in Saturday's 1-1 draw with Cagliari in Serie A and scored in that game as well. If he gets to line up against Sergio Ramos, who played in midfield in the first leg for Real Madrid, that could be a bloodbath, because Ramos was incredibly poor in that first leg, in my opinion. Profligate with the ball, didn't really show any attacking intent. I think that Ancelotti might change things and Ramos might not be seen in midfield in this game, but Paul Pogba's a major boost for Juventus.
Yeah, he is. I mean, I think he's not been far off fitness either. You know, I said about Benzema, and you wonder if his fitness will be, if he'll be sharp enough. But I think the game that Paul Pogba plays is that I think he'll slip back into this team pretty well, and it will obviously strengthen Juve. I think they'll sit in here. I think Juve will sit in and look to hit Real Madrid on the break. We've seen a few teams frustrate Real Madrid this season, so it's not like it's, you know, something where you think, how do we stop Real Madrid scoring? We've seen Atletico Madrid do it on numerous occasions, so it's possible to do that. And Juve, of course, you know, if they can score a goal, then it's, you know, the game is wide open. I don't know if they will hold Real Madrid. That's the thing. I can actually see a repeat of the scoreline from the first leg, but in Real's favour. So a 2-1 to Real Madrid.
7-1.
Yeah, decent. That will take it to extra time. I think they're going to have to do it the hard way. I just think that if Juve do set up like that and defend to the hilt for pretty much 90 minutes, or try and defend, you know, and keep the ball and, you know, and control the game, I think they'll be the ones who would tire quicker. So I think it might be that Real Madrid get through in the end, if you're looking on the to qualify odds. But yeah, I mean, I think, how can you know, what looking at Cristiano Ronaldo prices to score, I mean, his odds on this time, it was 13-10 for the away leg, 3-4. He's got the most semi-final goals of any player in Champions League history with 9. He scored 6-6 against Italian opposition, if you want to take that into consideration as well. Averages 6 shots per game in total. He averages 7.5 shots per game at home. He scored 4 goals from that. Quite a lot of shots per game, that, you know. When you look at the other, you know, strikers, I mean, look at Tevez. Tevez has scored 2.6. He had 2.6 shots per game away from home, scoring 3 goals in that. So it's like 1 in 4. Doesn't really, you know, need that many shots to score his goals. Whereas Ronaldo, he has a lot of shots.
Different types of players, though,
yeah,
aren't they?
Adley, I mean, Malone at 3-4.
Ronaldo picks up the ball from deep and more long shots. Yeah. And Tevez is not a fox in the box type, but he would generally score the majority of his goals inside the 18-yard box.
I'd rather take Tevez at 19-10 than Ronaldo at 3-4 in this one.
Okay.
It's a price play. Tevez is having a career best season as well. He's only 3 goals off his best ever domestic career. He's already smashed his best Champions League season to bits with his goals that he's got already. He's got 7 in 11 appearances in the Champions League. So yeah, I mean, if I was looking at a goal scorer, I'd probably go Tevez. It would have to be on the break, I think. I think Real Madrid will squeak through, but I think Juve will get a goal and make it very, very hard for them.
So your best bets here?
I'm going to go for... I was just going to have a look at the goal prices. So over 2.5 at 8-11. I'd like it to be a tiny bit bigger. But yeah, Real Madrid win and over 2.5 goals I'll go for, because I do think there'll be goals in it. I don't see how Real Madrid will, you know, I don't think they'll be sitting back. So yeah, I'll go for the Real Madrid win, over 2.5 goals, and I like Tevez at 19-10.
I just want to finish this off as well. You mentioned that you think that Real Madrid are more a team of individuals than a team as a unit.
At the minute, yeah.
At the moment. One of those individuals is Gareth Bale, and we've not mentioned him in this match preview. His career at Real Madrid apparently suffering because he's not being passed the ball enough, according to his agent, who came out and spoke publicly about this on Saturday night, Jonathan Barnett. And he was staunchly criticised by Roy Keane, Paul Scholes and Lee Dixon on ITV following that game on last Tuesday. I mean, they got really stuck into him, didn't they? Roy Keane in particular.
That's unusual for Roy Keane as well, because usually his criticisms are quite measured and quite fair, in my opinion. I mean, what do you need to do? I mean, the season last season was was stunning. You know, I think we've said a few times that, you know, statistically it was the best debut season of any player in recent years, and you can include every single Galactico in that. It just brilliant. I mean, maybe he suffered a little bit from that, and maybe he suffered a little bit from, you know, the adulation he got last season. You know, you wouldn't think that a player of Cristiano Ronaldo's calibre would appear to be so negative about another player on his team, would you? And that for me, that's why Messi is the best player in the world. Because you don't get any of that from Messi.
No.
All right, we had a little bit earlier in the season where his toys seemed to come out the pram a little bit with his manager, but it was soon resolved, and look what he's done since. Now, if that is the case, it's just crazy, and you feel a little bit for Gareth Bale because he's out in a foreign country on his own, you know, effectively, you know, obviously with his family around him and everything, but you know, it wouldn't be a big surprise to see Bale pop up. He's that kind of player. I wouldn't be touching him at 29-20, but it wouldn't be a big surprise to see him be influential in the game, would it? But I think he's just having one of those seasons. Him and James Rodriguez could probably do with Ronaldo not being there to see their true. He's not inclusive like Messi. You wouldn't imagine Cristiano Ronaldo giving the ball to his teammate to take a penalty to allow him to score rather than him take a hat-trick, which is what Messi did for Neymar recently in that 8-0. You know, Ronaldo
wouldn't
do
happen.
That.
No, of course it
would. Some people may think, oh, that's why I like Ronaldo. But in a team setting, I think, you know, he needs to be more inclusive. I'm sure Gareth Bale will be all right.
I'm sure he'll be fine. Whether or not he's at Real Madrid next season is open to some debate. Let's move on. Let's look at the Europa League semi-final second legs as well. These are both Thursday 8:05 p.m. kickoffs UK time. Dnipro versus Napoli first up. Dnipro 16-5 to win the match. The draw 23-10. Napoli 10-11 to qualify. Napoli 1-2 to qualify. Dnipro 6-4. And the headline offers here, Nikola Kalinic to score and Dnipro to win is 7-1. Gonzalo Higuain to score and Napoli to win both in 90 minutes is 3-1. First leg, Lee, in Italy ended 1-1 after substitute Yevgen Selezhnyov's late equaliser. That cancelled out David Lopez's opener. That could prove to be a crucial away goal, and Rafael Benitez referenced the difficulty his side might have in Dnipro in the lead-up to the match.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fascinating tie, this one now. I mean, I was confident that Napoli would definitely do a job in the first. Like, I think I went for Napoli and under 2.5, and it was looking good. And then great equaliser from Dnipro. That away goal is unbelievable for them. The most impressive thing for me about this is that I wrote down the second part of Dnipro's name the other day and spelt it completely correctly.
Did you really?
Yeah, which I was really surprised. You know,
when you were reading it, did you pronounce it correctly?
Dnipro. No. Dnipropetrovsk.
That's it.
Yeah. Easy to spell and to say.
Can I leave that in?
Yeah, of course you can, yeah. Double D's, we like to call it.
Double D, yeah.
Double D. Or Dnipro, for short. Yeah, great. I mean, their home form in the Europa League has been excellent. You know, they came unstuck against Karabag and Inter, but losing 1-0 to both. But since then, they've won 4 on the spin against St Etienne, Olympiacos, Ajax and Club Bruges, all to nil. It'd be hard to imagine any other kind of game for them, wouldn't it? That's obviously what they're going to try and do here. They've got their away goal. If they got a 0-0, they go through, obviously.
Watching that first leg, though, Lee, it was noticeable how many chances Higuain in particular spurned in that first half. And how frustrated those fans grew quickly. We know in Italy the fans can get on their team's back very, very quickly, and the Napoli fans did. I wonder whether it's going to be a little bit of a relief just getting away from them, to be honest.
Yeah, maybe. From
a personnel perspective, there's no comparison between the two sides, really.
No, Napoli should win. And it is. After the 1-1, I was kind of thinking to myself, I could see Dnipro getting through here. They've got that kind of, they'll have that unbelievable team spirit, and even though they're not as good a team, they'll, you know, it'll be an unbelievable atmosphere at home. And then as the week's worn on and we've got closer to doing this preview, I'm now kind of back on the Napoli bandwagon again. Because my worry is that, all right, they have been very good at home in terms of defence, but Club Bruges, Ajax, Olympiacos, Saint Etienne, they're not they're not Napoli for me. I think Napoli have got more goals than them. Just looking at their recent away performances, Napoli, not all fantastic, but they scored 2 at Parma, 2 at Empoli, 3 at Cagliari, and 4, of course, in the previous round at Wolfsburg, which was a bit of a shock. But it just proves that they can attack. Now, they will know as well that if they can get an away goal, then the tie really swings back into their favour. And I think they will go for it, Napoli. I think they are capable of scoring goals. Dnipro, I mean, this is... when you look at the shot percentages, they've had 3.7 shots on target per game on average. Now, I know obviously they've played a lot of games compared to some of the others, but that's 52nd out of 56th in the entire Europa League teams. You know, obviously they've played a lot more games than some of the other teams in there. But yeah, under 4 shots per game is just not good enough, really, for me. That's at home, by the way. That's not even full stop. So I think Dnipro will struggle to outscore Napoli here. I think Napoli know what they've got to do, and I think tactically, Benitez will probably hold the upper hand in this battle. So I think they'll just about get it done. I'll be looking at Napoli. I mean, 10-11 is not bad, you know, just to win the game. I think they're capable of winning the game. They need to be obviously on their mettle. You'd be looking at Higuain, you know, to score the goals as well. I was looking at Napoli to score 2 goals in the match at 11-10, over 1.5. That's in the goals tab. Just scroll down to where it says Napoli under over goals. 11-10 to score 2 in the match is pretty fair to me. And the price for Higuain to score any time in the match is 23-20. I'd probably take him first, if I'm being honest. I don't think there'll be a load of goals in it.
I like the 1-0 actually here. Yeah. 1-0 Napoli at 6-1.
Yeah.
That strikes me. I just think Rafa Benitez is so shrewd in this competition, and he will understand the importance of winning it this season in particular.
Yeah. The worry is that he wasn't shrewd enough to get a win at home against the Minnow. And you'd have to say Serie A is better than, you know, the Ukrainian Premier League. The other bet I do like is, and it goes along with what you just said then, I think it'll go along with what Dnipro try and do, is under 1.5 goals at 9-4. I think that's a decent price, just a smidgen over 2-1. Like I say, I mean, you know, that under 1.5 has landed in 5 of the 6 home games that they've played since losing to Inter. So, you know, I think that's a possibility. Under 2.5, by the way, is 7-10, so a little bit skinny. But my favourite bet is that over 1.5 Napoli goals.
Okay, at 11-10.
Yeah.
Fiorentina-Sevilla is the other Europa League semi-final on Thursday night, second leg. Fiorentina to win this in 90 minutes, 13-10. The draw is 11-5, Sevilla 11-5. To qualify, Sevilla 1-50 to qualify, Fiorentina 12-1. And we do have a couple of headline offers for this match as well here with William Hill. Mohamed Salah to score and Fiorentina to win in 90 minutes is 3-1. And Carlos Bacca to score and Sevilla to win in 90 minutes is 4-1. Severely in complete command of this semi-final, having won the first leg 3-0. Alex Vidal scored the opening couple of goals, and then substitute Kevin Gamero's late strike should have put this tie beyond Fiorentina. And Unai Emery's side, they won the trophy last season thanks to that penalty shootout victory against Benfica, and they're bidding to become the first club to win this competition 4 times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Clear favourites now to reach the final in Warsaw and win the championship.
Yeah, 8-11 to win it now. Napoli 7-4, by the way. Dnipro 5-1 and Fiorentina 50-1. Yeah, a little bit like the Bayern Munich Barcelona tie in the Champions League, I suppose. You know, the 3-0 win at home just gives you almost an easy ride, because you can pretty much sit back and let the home team do as they will, and what they have to do is attack. Fiorentina haven't scored enough goals any of the previous matches. Maybe you could say, well, they didn't need to. Did score 2 at home against Tottenham, 2 at home against Dynamo Kiev, drew 1-1 with Roma, lost 2-1 to Dynamo Minsk, and drew 1-1 with PAOK. Beat Guingamp early in the season as well. But I think Sevilla will win the game, actually. I think they're a decent price just to win this match. I think, you know, they don't need to, admittedly, but I think Sevilla are so good and know how to play this competition so well that I think they'll be able to pick Fiorentina off. I wouldn't be surprised if it's something like a 3-2. Mm. You know, if it's a really entertaining game, because, you know, I think Fiorentina will give it a go. And, you know, I think it'll get to the stage at some point where they realise they can't outscore Sevilla, you know, especially if Sevilla have got an away goal. And I think their heads might go down, whereas I don't think Sevilla's heads will go down. I think they'll look to score goals. So I think 11-5 is a decent price. You know, you mentioned the home goal scorers in that 3-0 win. Vidal got two of them. I like Bakker to get on the score sheet here. I think if they are looking to hit Fiorentina on the break and sit in and wait for mistakes, I think Bakker is worth looking at for Sevilla. He's a favourite. It's 29-20, but you know, he'd be the one to pick up any pieces in the box. But yeah, I think I'll go for just a Sevilla win here. I think there'll be goals in the game because there has to be again. It serves no purpose for Fiorentina to sit back, and play it safe. So, you know, I think if you're looking at the actual goals bets, over 2.5 is 4-6, which, considering the state of the game, it's not a bad price.
Yeah, they've got to come out, haven't they?
Yeah.
They've missed a numerous opportunities in that first leg. Similar to Napoli, really. Mario Gomez, Mohamed Salah and Matias Fernandez all had opportunities to put Fiorentina in with a chance of winning the game, but now they will be so deflated going into this match.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, they'll be confident enough. I mean, they've scored in every home game so far this season, but like I say, it's just they haven't scored enough goals.
It's been patchy as well, that home record, really. Fiorentina's home record is not amazing by any stretch of the imagination.
No, I mean, Fiorentina are fifth in Serie A, Sevilla are fifth in La Liga. If you're doing a balancing act of which league is better, then I think La Liga wins it. You know, Sevilla, some of their domestic performances at home this season, they drew 1-1 with Barcelona. They also 2-2 with Barcelona. I think they held Atletico Madrid as well. Yeah, 0-0 against Atletico Madrid. Lost 3-2 to Real Madrid the other week, if you remember that, and when Ronaldo got his hat-trick. So, you know, not bad at all. Two draws against two of the top three teams in the division and only narrowly lost to Real Madrid as well. So, you know, they're a stronger side than Fiorentina for me. I think they'll do what they want to do. If they want a draw, they'll get a draw. But I'm going to trust them to go out there and outscore Fiorentina. Something like a 2-1 or a 3-2.
If you're looking at 2-1, that's in the market at 10-1. 3-2 is 28-1. Sevilla, just to win the match in 90 minutes, looks a good price as well at 11-5. Thank you, Mr. Phelps.
You're welcome.
That brings
us... Should be enjoyable.
Yeah, bang up to date with the European action this midweek. And myself, Lee and Derek will be back for the penultimate week of the Premier League season next weekend. And
you have to go for like a 15-1.
We 50-50-1, I think, to get anywhere near Derek in terms of the naps table. And of course, the relegation picture, bit of light shone upon that picture on Saturday with Hull being beaten by Burnley and Newcastle getting a point against West Brom.
Very tight, isn't it?
Still tight, but...
Sunderland's still got a game in hand as well, remember?
It's going to be tough for Hull to pull themselves out now, isn't it? Newcastle have got QPR to come.
True, yeah. You think QPR look desperate, don't they? The only thing Hull have got in their favour, really, in my opinion, is that goal difference. So, you know, it gives them an extra point. If they can draw level with, you know, anyone barring Leicester, then they'll pit them to safety.
Some of the reaction, by the way, when QPR were beaten by Manchester City was bordering on ludicrous, in all honesty. I mean, you'd think QPR had been beaten by Accrington Stanley, the way some personalities were talking about their football cowardice on Sunday afternoon. I mean, this is Manchester City with Sergio Aguero, who's got 31 goals in 40 games. They might have been poor on the day, but the hyperbole spouted after that defeat.
They didn't look... I suppose what you'd say is that if they're fighting for their lives, they didn't look to have an awful lot of fight in them, did they? The defending was catastrophic at times. But like you say, you are playing against Sergio Aguero.
And there seemed to be this direct correlation with how much you're paid to ability. People just get paid how much the club wants to pay them.
Yeah.
It doesn't directly correlate with their actual ability on the football pitch.
I'll tell you what is worrying. I mean, I hadn't looked at this for a while, but you know, there's that table, that Premier League table, which effectively gives you a... their league position and how much the club's worth. And it's a bit of a misnomer, really. But people say that if you look at the table year in, year out, it goes from top to bottom and there's very little difference. Right. So you'll get the team moves cost a lot, least at the bottom, and the team it doesn't look like that at all, to be honest with you now. I mean, QPR have spent a lot of money.
Yes.
You know, and you look at that league table, you can, if you Google it, you'll find it somewhere. You look at Hull as well. I mean, Hull spent a lot of money for the Europa League push. Hull and QPR have spent loads of money. I mean, Villa have spent barely anything. Burnley have barely spent anything either. But I don't think that's quite... I don't think that table's quite true anymore. They're just not... They've not been anywhere near good enough QPR. And I think it just goes to show, it doesn't happen with every team. Leicester have escaped, of course. But, you know, when you see a team who are losing game after game after game, and they're losing by two or more goals as well, as QPR have been doing for a while, they don't change their form. Mm. You know, a team like Leicester who have been narrowly getting beaten, and the reports are coming out that they've played well but not got anything out of it, they're the ones who maybe can get out of it. But, yeah, Hull have got an unbelievable job on their hands now. I think Newcastle might just escape.
Look forward to chatting more about the relegation picture on Friday with Mr. Phelps, and Eric McGovern is back with us as well. Make sure you get your bets on for the midweek European football. Bayern Munich versus Barcelona is the Tuesday night kickoff, 7:45. Real Madrid Juventus on Wednesday night at 7:45, and both the Europa League semi-final second legs on Thursday evening at 8:05, Dnipro versus Napoli and Fiorentina versus Sevilla. And don't forget, you can follow myself and Lee on Twitter. It's at D Kellner and at Lee Phelps. And you can get this podcast at audioboom.com by typing in William Hill. That's where all our on-demand audio lives. And you can download the podcast via iTunes as well. Thank you for listening to the Midweek Punt, and myself, Lee and Dave will be back at the weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.